Hello and welcome to episode 5 of the Eighth Node. I'm Gitti Rappaport here with my brother Rabbi Reuben Wolf from Mayan Yisrael. Welcome. Before we begin, I would like to dedicate tonight's podcast, Le'iloi Nishmas, Dvar Eleya Bas Yaakov Eliezer, an incredible woman. And Shlucha, who was Nifter today, she should have, her neshama should have the highest of Elias. I feel like she was really an embodiment of a little bit of what we're going to discuss tonight, so it's very apropos. Okay, so we're going to get into it. And Parshas Bamidbar, and the Rebbe ties it very closely to Shavuos. There's a reason why it falls out on Shavuos. And I think what's so powerful about this sicha is it's talking about finding inner peace and inner tranquility. And this was something that we discussed all the way in the beginning, in episode 1, I think it was, where we were talking about how in specifically this generation, there's this unsettledness. There's this feeling of being uncomfortable, being fragmented, and just not having menuchas nefesh. And the Rebbe, as we said, is talking to this generation because he's talking about the generation that's welcoming Mashiach. And he really, really gives such a clear explanation of where we could find that really true inner peace and tranquility. And I found this sicha to be fascinating and really bringing it into such a practical level. I also think this is very interesting, and I know you're going to mention this, so I'm jumping ahead and I'm going to say it instead of you. Because the Sikha is talking so much about how the Torah brings peace, and that's why Shavuos happened on Shabbos. And that's what we're going to talk about, how Shabbos and the Torah and Shavuos are all connected and they bring inner peace. It's no accident that President Trump is just bringing this. It's just so mind-boggling that, I don't know what he called it, this national Shabbos. But I think that, you know, the world really is so ready for this. And there's so many people that are non-Jewish people that are looking at us and looking at what we have in Shabbos and recognizing this real inner tranquility and peace that we find specifically on Shabbos.
Yes, that's exciting. This is a very unique sicha. It's a very unique talk. It is from someone coming from the Rebbe who inspires us to take on task after task after task after task. It's like, if there's someone who doesn't give us any menucha in this world, it's the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He will load you up and load you up and load you up. No matter what you're doing, he's always asking for more. And that's what a chassid is. A chassid always knows I'm never doing enough and there's always more. And a Jew knows that, you know. But the Rebbe is like beyond that. And there's so many things. You know, you got to do your chitas, and you got to go on miftzayim, and then you have to make Shabbos, and then you have to be tentative to your husband and to your spouse, your wife, and then the children, and then you can't forget this one and can't forget that one. And there's like a million things to do. And here comes the Rebbe, and the Rebbe says, and all of that should not fragment you even the tiniest bit, but all of that, there is the, if you're doing it the godly way, the right way, and you're doing it in the Mashiachtig way, then you're living in absolute peace and tranquility, even in the midst of what seems to be on the outside of your existence, utter chaos. But there's no chaos because there's something very, very intrinsically one that is unifying all these things. It's like you're entering into Hashem's peace. Hashem is the the creator and the influencer and the one who makes and does and produces every moment of time. If anybody is busy, it's God that's busy with everything. And yet at the same time, the Eibishter is not overwhelmed, and he's tranquil, and he's in a state of menucha. And that is the uniqueness that the Rebbe is bringing over here, is the ability to be able to be so busy and so tranquil at the same time. It's incredible. It really is incredible. And you can be, if you're living on the outer crust of existence, when we live on the outer crust of existence, which means we're not penetrating into the Eibishter, into Hashem, into the godly of things, then even if you're not so busy and you waste a lot of time and you have a lot of time in your hand, you're still going to find yourself very split and splintered and fragmented. So this is special. I was thinking today the famous story they say about the Rebbe Marash, that the Rebbe Marash would sweat buckets after he would have yechidus. He would be sweating like you could take his clothing and literally squeeze it out, and buckets would come out from that. And once it was like kind of the question was asked. I mean, he's sitting in a room. I don't know. Maybe he had air conditioned there too. And there were Hasidim coming in. You talk to people. Like, why is he sweating buckets after a night of Yechidus? And I think the Rebbe Marash answered, "You're not getting it. I changed my clothing. Like, he went to, like, 100 times in the hour. I've been changing clothing like this, like this, like this." And he explained, because when the Chassid comes in, and he's coming to speak to me, I have to listen to what he's saying. So I have to be me listening to what he's saying. But then I need to enter into his world to be able to empathize with him. So I have to undress myself for me, and I have to like dress myself into him. Then in order for me to be able to give him advice, I need to like exit the garments of being him, and I have to go back to Rebbe, to who I am, and dress myself back into me. And then once I have the idea of how to help him, I need to now communicate it to him. But in order to communicate to him, I need to really identify with him and be able to come down to where he's at. So now I have to get dressed back into him. The Rebbe Rashab, like kind of, the Rebbe Marash explained, like there's like six times he's changing clothing back and forth with each yechidus. Then he said, there are so many yechiduses that I had in 1 hour, like 10 of them or whatever. And imagine changing your clothing so many times. It's enormous. Yet, I guarantee you that the Rebbe Marash was fully present and fully calm and fully there, although he was constantly in a shift and moving. And you saw one of the things we find about the Rebbe, I don't think there was ever a person who had so much on his plate like the Rebbe. He had the entire world's problems on his head. If there's any person, oh yeah, I have that, I have to take care. She called me, he called me, he's waiting for an answer. And you see that sometimes the Rebbe's, in his letters, he says like, I'm, please don't get upset that I'm not answering. There's so much that I'm saying that. Yet everybody who says they were in Yechidus found someone who was 1,000% present and there as if there's nothing else in the world. He's like in this place of total relaxation, totally here, and there's nothing else going on. And here the Rebbe shares the secret of being, I can only imagine how attractive we become and how influential we become if we can really live in this place. Because nervousness and this sense of anxiety is not appealing to anybody around us, right? So you come around a very calm person, but doesn't mean, like you say in Yiddish, aledegeir, someone who is extremely busy with enormous responsibility, but yet it's all with a calmness.
Okay, so let's get into the actual body of the sikha and what are we comparing here, and how are we know that Shavuos was given on Shabbos. It happens to be that this year we also call out Shavuos on Shabbos, so it's really beautiful. But the Rebbe,
it's interesting, and the Rebbe's sikha, the year the Rebbe spoke, Shavuos was really Matzah Shabbos,
right?
And the Rebbe's message in that sikha is that in that particular year, how can you take the Shabbos the Shabbos tranquility, the peace, which one enters when you're above the pieces of life, when you're in this inner sacred space outside of time. And the beauty over here is that you bring it with you into the madness, and as the Rebbe says in the Sikha, you bring it even into a place that is so unstable and so rocky, so shaky, like a desert, like the Midbar. Like the Midbar is the most unsettled of places. And yet to be able to keep your
equilibrium
and stay balanced. So that was that year. But this year, when Shavuos is on Shabbos, so we can delve deep, purely into the recognizing that while the world goes bonkers, while there's so much stuff happening, and even when we, on some level, do see the beauty over here is that there's two ideas. The simple idea is that you should recognize that there is Shabbos. It's almost like Shabbos is your escape door, that you can kind of leave the turmoil of the week and the splinteredness of the week, and enter into this timeless zone and a place, and that itself is incredibly therapeutic and healing. That's one level, and the other level is that even when you go back into the choppy life of the weekday, it doesn't have to be choppy if you anchor yourself deeply into Shabbos. And you're coming with Shabbos consciousness, which is Hashem Echad, and you're bringing that into the week with you, then you don't lose that single anchor that anchors you and keeps you calm and steady the entire time. So what I'm saying is interesting that because this year it comes out on Shabbos, maybe the biggest focus is just to recognize that there is a quiet space beneath the noise that is always there. It's just interesting. Yeah, so let's talk about the Sikha a little bit. Where is the Rebbe getting to this? Because we're kind of already assuming that everybody knows what the Sikha
right.
says. So I'm glad you're asking. So what did you see in the Sikha?
So to me, first of all...
Let's lay out the Sikha a little bit. What did you read?
The Rebbe talks about why Shabbos is beyond time and space.
And why the Torah was given on Shabbos.
And why the Torah was beyond time and space. Even though...
No, why the Torah was given on Shabbos. That's the connection.
Right. Okay. And even though the Torah is so... Okay, maybe that's the next step. We'll get into that. The Torah is so confined to time and space because we're working within the world. So we're very much, you know, every mitzvahs have a certain time and we're using certain things and we have a past and a present within it. So I really
There's
like
no
that.
Question that Torah and mitzvahs bepashtus on a simple level if one is not privy to chassidus. And to the internal, or even if you're not Chassidus, but if you have a unique neshama and you're able to grasp this, but if you're not, then Torah mitzvahs and Yiddishkeit and Yomim Tovim and all the stuff that go on can pile on a lot of chaos in a person's life. A lot of extra bewilderment. A lot of things that can add more splintering and more choppiness to a person's life, because how much of our lives evolve around our religious obligation, our Torah and mitzvahs. So I wouldn't say to just, you know, to say, oh, you know, add Torah and mitzvahs to your life and you're going to be living in the epitome of peace and tranquility. It could be quite the opposite. People can become very stressed out from Pesach and from Torah, and from Shabbos, from the mitzvahs, and from the things. But that only happens when we lose sight of the internal element of the Torah and the mitzvahs. And when we have the real attitude and the correct attitude of Torah and mitzvahs, even though there is multitudes of more to do and more boxes to check off in your day, yet it's not fragmenting you. Quite on the contrary, it is bringing a wholesomeness and a oneness and an incredible unity in one's existence. So the Rebbe basically is laying out, saying the question is, why? What's the relationship of Shabbos and Torah? Because in the Gemara, there's an argument when the Torah was given, if the Torah was given on the sixth day of Sivan or the Torah was given on the seventh day of Sivan. But the Gemara says, whether it was the sixth or the seventh is an argument, but which day of the week it was, everybody agrees that Shabbos, the Torah was given. The argument is, was Shabbos the sixth or was Shabbos the seventh? Which means, if everybody agrees that Shabbos, the Torah was given, is a sign that the Torah and Shabbos are sisters. They go together. They're siblings. They have to be together. They match up. Now, why is that? So the gist of the explanation, I'm just going to be very brief, in the Sicha is that the Inyan of Shabbos is Menucha, is rest. And without Shabbos, there is no rest. And the Rebbe explains, because creation itself is divided. There is all kinds of components in the world, beginning with the directions, north, south, east, and west. And there is time. And where there is change, there needs to be adaptation. Wherever there is change, there needs to be adapting. And where there's adaptation, there is movement, and the movement causes adaptation. Adaptation causes the opposite of resting, because you have to constantly, adapt yourself. It's like we all know, you go up to the country and you go up the mountain and suddenly you step out of the car and it's freezing. You got into the car and it was boiling hot. Now you're up there on the top. It's because you moved to a different space. And now you have to change your clothing, and you have to change so you're adapting to a different climate, and we all know how weak we become, especially as you're getting a little older, for me, I'm feeling it more. When I travel, it used to be no problem for me to hop on a plane, fly to New York, back and forth from LA to New York, nothing. It was a machaya. Now I'm out for 3 days. I'm tired. It's just that shift of time and the shift of space and the coming from two different places. It wears you down. It tears you down. So life is such that since we're living in just merely going through time and space, even if you're not doing a million things, and imagine, I'm thinking, people in earlier generations, they didn't have so much things to do. They had a few big things to take care of. But it wasn't like today, because we have these devices, I find myself and, picking up my phone, I want to answer this person. That's why I took my phone. But by the time I look at my phone, there's six notifications. I look at that one, I say, I didn't answer him. So then I go there, then I forgot why I took my phone to begin with. Then I'm thinking, I didn't go to this one. And I go there, and before you know it, you're to read it, you're to mish, you don't even know what's flying with yourself. And everybody's grabbing at you. This person is texting you five times because he needs you to answer him regarding that. And you know it is. And it's like, it's madness. It's utter chaos. And then you forgot to shut the fire under your kugel, and it's going to burn. In the middle of, there's such a barrage of and that is a constant shift and a change and choppiness. And the choppiness, mamish, is what wears and tears and is very not healthy for us. And literally is what causes us to age and to tire and to disintegrate. So what's the secret? What's the secret? So the Torah says, Ba Shabbos, Ba Menucha. Shabbos comes, and Shabbos brings Menucha. Why does Shabbos bring Menucha? What is it about Shabbos that brings Menucha? Okay, you're not doing work, I understand. But you're still living in the change of time, and you're still living in the change of space. So the Rebbe says, no, Shabbos is really a day that we exit time and space. We exit creation, and we enter into something deeper than the differences of time and space. Shabbos actually is beyond time, because we know that every Shabbos Sunday we say Hayom Yom Rishon, the day starts over again, which means that how did it start? It should be a continuation, because it stopped. Time stops. And space also stops, because we're told that you're not supposed to go out of a Tchum Shabbos. You're supposed to stay in your place, which means in a certain thing, the idea of moving out from one space to another space, that doesn't exist on Shabbos. So we're entering into the pace of no change, and that's the tranquility. But are we really kidding ourselves? What do you mean there's no time and there's no space? There is time and space even on Shabbos. What does that mean? The answer to that is that the time and the space is only the Eibishter, God, who is creating the world, is creating the time and the space. But the Hashem himself, he is Sunday, he is Monday, he is Tuesday, he is Wednesday, he is Thursday, he's Friday. There's one thing that's the same every day of the week, winter, summer. Who is north, who is south, who is east, east and west, who is up and who is down. What does David HaMelech says? If I mesak shamayim sham ata, vatzir sha'oil, the person is in a hellish darkness. The only thing that is that doesn't change is that the Eibishter is there, that God is there. There's leisa sar panu minei. There's the one thing that's a constant everywhere and every second is the Eibishter. So the beauty of Shabbos is that the veil that stands between the creation and God thins out, that everything becomes transparent, and suddenly you're seeing the oneness, you're seeing Hashem Echad, who's creating Ata Echad, V'Shimcha Echad, Mikra Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad. You're feeling the singular Aleph that we spoke about, that makes from Goy L'Ga'uli. You see that singular oneness, and that is the reality that fills all of existence, and now it's only one. And when you tap that oneness, you're not in the hoo-ha, you're just in the one.
It's so interesting because, you know, as a wife, as a mother, as a host, Shabbos is my busiest day. I'm hosting, I'm preparing, I'm setting up, I'm cleaning up. But I don't remember who I was talking to. I was telling them that I never appreciated Shabbos until I started making Shabbos myself. So even though I'm technically working so hard, there's something about the actual day that still makes me feel like, oh, I can't wait for Shabbos. Like, I really, really appreciate it. Like, when Shabbos comes in, I'm exhausted. I was in the kitchen all day from 6 o'clock in the morning or whatever it is. And I'm hosting people and I have to be on and I have to be social and I'm talking and the kids are all home. But there's just, and that's, I thought it was because my phone is away, so I'm present, which is part of it. Because like we said before, we get very fragmented. I'm cooking and I need to find the recipe, so I open my phone and then I get distracted. And when you are doing something and you're mindful about it and you're just doing that and you stay on task, you're focused, then even if you're working, there's a certain peacefulness to it. Because like you said, in the older generation, they probably had this peacefulness more just because the farmer went out to hoe and he hoed the field and he did, but that's what he was focusing on. We're being pulled in so many different directions. So on Shabbos, I feel like there's just this presence. You know, we have this feeling of being present. When we're sitting around the Shabbos table, nobody's distracted. Everyone's focused. You're focused on the relationship. You're focused on what you're talking about. You're focused on your Dvar Torah. You're focused on the food or whatever it is. But there's that presence, that mindfulness. And I think it really is because that veil is being lifted and we could tap into what's really important here, what matters. And it's so interesting to me because it really is the busiest day of the week for me. But there's a certain presence that's really beautiful.
So now the Rebbe continues and he says, so the same is now with Torah, because Shabbos, as we say, the oneness is experienced by lifting ourselves up from the roller coaster, or from the daily grind. You're stopping that daily grind and you're going into a more inner space and a peaceful space where the change is not so, the change is softer. If there's any change, it's very soft, as opposed to the rigidity of the changes during the week. But the chiddush over here, the Rebbe says, of Torah is that Torah is meant to engage completely in the hischalkus, in the differentiations of time and space. And Torah helps us live in these differentiations of time and space, and our differentiation, and yet the differentiations of time and space is not real differentiation. It's not cutting. It's not chopping the person. And the reason it's not chopping the person is because by the introduction of Torah, then your entire life becomes one seamless oneness. Why is it in a seamless oneness? Because Torah is giving you the Hashem in life. Hashem in life. And it's introducing Hashem's will into every element of life. And therefore, if you're rooted in what is Hashem's will, then you're rooted again in oneness. Even if technically Hashem's will is a lot of things, but you don't get caught in the things, you're anchored in a singular thing that never changes. And that is Hashem's will. The chilek of Shabbos and Torah is that in Shabbos, it's in a state of withdrawal. Leave the office, leave the work, leave the factory, put down the hammer, put down the thing, get into this quiet zone. In Torah, it means, no, Torah precisely sends you into every crevice of life. But you're always consulting only one being. You're consulting, what does the Shulchan Aruch say? It's all one thing. What does the Eibishter say? What does the Eibishter say? It's all committed to a singular being. Nothing is changing. Your root and core is not changing. So it's almost like to say like this. As we go through life, a life of a child, when you're young, a young child, you know, your ambitions, your drives, what you're into is one thing. You become a teenager, you start shifting into other things that matter and are important, and you get, you know, what your friends think of you and this and that becomes very, very much whatever. And then you go into your early 20s and starting to look, you know, for shidduch, to get married, and that whole world opens up, and then a career and making a living. And then start having children, family, that starts to this. And then as we go through life, you're going through stage after stage after stage after stage, and there's no common thread really that's pulling through the whole thing. It's like chopped up. Like, I have the me when I was a child, the me when I was a teenager, the me when I'm in their 20s, the me then, and it can be a complete different drive and a complete different set of values and things. And you really are almost like a collage of 10 different people or 6 different people. If you are a yid who, and you're really tuning into Torah, then, and you're educated correctly, so then the oomph, even from when being a little child, the parents can start telling the child that you are here to serve the Eibishter. Now, how the Eibishter wants you to serve it when you're a little child is very different than how the Eibishter wants you to serve it when you become Bar and Bas Mitzvah and you're getting a little older and you're going to yeshiva. That it shifts, becomes very different. What you need, but the core of it, nothing changed. You were serving Hashem when you were a child, serving Hashem when you were a teenager. Now when you're 20 years old and you're getting married, you're still serving Hashem and getting married. You're doing the mitzvah of getting married. Now Hashem wants you to have children, so you're having a family. Now Hashem wants you to go make a living for Hashem. You're still serving Hashem. The core, the nucleus of who you are is not changing from when you're 6 years old to when you're 96. So this is such a healthy, obviously, the deeper a person is living in Torah and Mitzvah itself, where it's not about the thrill I get from it or this that I get, but the root of it is to serve the will of my Creator, the will of my, the Rebbe says, not even the words of my Creator, because the words is different. The commandments are different. Not the commandment, the will. There's one singular will Hashem wants you to be. Hashem wants to be in a relationship with you. That's all. And if that's where I am, I want to be, I'm here to be in a relationship with Hashem, to be His servant. That is a oneness. And in that, there is no change, and there's no... So I'm speaking about a life as a whole, but then you can apply that to the choppiness of every day, of the different obligations that we have, that it becomes... And I was thinking today, it's interesting. Also, what happens then is that you don't become conflicted between your obligations to the various different people you want to satisfy. Because if you have your boss and you have to like satisfy your boss because your boss is your source of your parnasa, meanwhile your spouse needs you, Then it starts becoming a real tug of war, and it creates enormous tension because you're feeling that what? I'm going to lose my spouse, or I'm going to lose my boss, or I'm caught in between a rock and a hard place. But if I recognize that I have only one thing, I have the Eibishter. And the Eibishter wants me to be a good husband. And why am I married? And who am I really married to? I'm married to my wife. I'm married to my husband. I'm married to Hashem, enclosed in my wife and in my husband. It's all Him who gave me the gift of my spouse. We know, especially a chasen kala, a husband and wife, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shechina. It's Him. If I always see Him in it, so then, and my boss, you think my boss is my source of my parnasa? The Eibishter is the source of my. He's giving it through. So I have one thing in mind. I have to tune into what does the Eibishter want. And if I know I have to do what the Eibishter wants, I'm not intimidated by anybody or by anything. By doing what Hashem wants, I'm not losing anybody. I'm not losing anything. And I'm not getting caught in these, but if you start serving idols and start seeing your happiness and who is really the source of your happiness, whether it could be your spouse, it can be your boss, it can be your friend, it can be your congregants, it can be your fans on YouTube or your fans of this. And these are the people who control your entire, and each one is a separate, has power because of them. Then inevitably you're going to break. Yeah. I don't know if I'm explaining myself well, but
no, that was excellent. So really what we're saying is that, because we talk about, you mentioned this all the way in the beginning, that it doesn't make sense that Torah brings menucha because there's so many details and there's, like you're right, like Pesach, but if you have a purpose, if there's one underlying purpose, and I think that is such a key aspect to specifically dealing with this generation, that even if they're not busy, even if you are, the fact that we feel untethered, the fact that we have this anxiety, the fact that we feel this pulling in all different directions is because we're not tapped into that purpose. And you sent me an article today by your daughter, Cece Zirkin, and she bought one mushel that really struck me. And I really like it. I think maybe because she bought the mushel of a teacher. And I was a teacher for many years. And it's really true. If you're going in to teach and you are there to really be mechanach these children, to really open their eyes, to really give them an education, then every part of the teaching and you're thinking of that by every aspect of the teaching, then it's not going to be mundane tasks that you don't enjoy. So you have to give a test. You might not like giving tests because you want to see if they absorb the information. You have to control the classroom because you need to create an environment so that they can learn. But if you're just thinking, oh, I have to, you know, control the classroom because that's what I have to do, and I have to give a test, and I have to grade the test, and it's not with the underlying feeling of I am here to enlighten and enrich and show my students and what they're capable of, what they have within them, bring them more knowledge. If you have that going into your lesson every day, and those are the teachers that are very successful. Those are the teachers that when they have to discipline, when they have to give a test, because they're coming from a place of knowing what their mission is, knowing what their purpose is, the end goal is, their mission statement is on their, in front of them every single day, that's when the kids are going to feel that. They're going to respond in kind. And for themselves also, they're not going to feel like, oh, I have to do this, oh, because this is part of the process. And I think that really explains, you know, if we go into Torah, if we go into, you know, Pesach, if we go into whatever we're dealing with, personal relationships, but with that underlying feeling of this is what it's about, it's the will of Hashem, it's so grounding. And the Rebbe talks about this. He talks about the Ratzoy and Shuv, of feeling that, wanting to just leave this world, because in a way it would be so nice if we had Shabbos every day, right? If we could just leave it, if we could just go into that space of menucha. But the Rebbe talks about the shuv and coming back to that oneness.
Yeah, and this is and imagine, like the Rebbe seems to be driving this, that this is the world of Mashiach, We don't have any guarantees that when Mashiach will come, we will have less busy. I think Mashiach will keep us even more busy. There will be so much more, because so much potential is going to open up. We're going to be so, but we are not going to be in Golos, because we're not going to be disenfranchised. We're not going to be, because we're going to see so clearly the oneness in everything. And that's going to create such a menuchas hanefesh, such a deep menuchas hanefesh, that even if we're working 10 times harder, it's a state of menucha.
I think that, you know, it's interesting. I heard this today. I don't know what the source is, but I heard it from someone that I think it's true. I feel that a lot of times when we feel that anxiety or we feel that distractedness, you know, people will say, and this is like a new age idea, people will say, you know, take a deep breath and think about, and the truth is, and they were saying that the inhale is the yud and the hey from Hashem's name, and the exhale is the vav and the hey from Hashem's name. And I think that that's really like a good coping mechanism, and a good, not just even a coping mechanism, a good way to really tap into this concept in our day-to-day lives when we're feeling fragmented, to take a step back and say, okay, what is the purpose of all of this? Why am I so frazzled? Why do I need to do this and this and this and this? Am I coming from that place of a deep feeling of this is who I really am? This is the yud hey and vav hey within me. That's within me. And we need to step back a minute and really just inhale that, and just recognize that this is where we're operating out of. If we can operate from that place, then we can be present, then we can be mindful, then we can be focused. I thought that part that the Rebbe spoke about, the Ratzoy and Shuv, I don't know if you want to elaborate that on that a little bit, because I thought that was very powerful, of going back, I think it's to the Echad. There's a Pasuk, I didn't write it down.
Imratz Lipcha Shuv L'Echad.
Right.
If your heart is racing, Shuv, return, L'Echad to one. It's not a Pasuk, but it's a quote from Sefer Yetzirah. Yeah, if your heart is racing, return to oneness. But as the Rebbe is saying, is that even the change that happens from the Shabbos to the weekday is a change. But the truth is, it shouldn't be a change. Because if you are in Shabbos because the Eibishter wants you to be in Shabbos, and if you are in the week because the Eibishter wants you to be in the week, you didn't even change going from Shabbos to the week and from the week to Shabbos. There is a constant will of the Eibishter that is in everything. I mean, if you think about this idea that no matter where I am and what's going on, and Hashem wants me here right now, and there's something that the Eibishter wants, and that his will is directing me into this situation right now, and there's nothing, and it's the same will of the Eibishter that put me into this very, might say, uncomfortable circumstance right over here, that is the reason I it's the same will of the Eibishter that puts me in my most comfortable moments with my family and my living room, and it's because the Eibishter wants me to be there, and he wants me to delight in his goodness in that state. And here he wants me to uncover the Eibishter in the chaos. This is the reason why we really need to daven every morning. This is it. It's just the morning is to inhale Hashem Echad. There's oneness. Anchor myself into oneness. I'll be in a state of oneness. Then the most exhilarating moments of of the miracle, of the beautiful moments, of the beautiful moments, and the most tense moments when things seem to be, the Eibishter seems to be far, and I seems to be either, you know, lost, and I'm not feeling him. And, but I realize that both these moments, the moment of closeness and the moment of distance, the moment when I'm scrambling and the moment when I went through this just in the last 3 days. I went through the biggest extremes of like I needed something big financially regarding my center. And I went through 2 days of like almost like, you know, real intense tension of ma'ayin from where is it going to come from, like what, where, and when. And just Baruch Hashem, the miracle that Hashem has given that over the last 24 hours, something opened up, just absolutely spectacular for me, and to be able to resolve it. And here I'm feeling like wow and calm and beautiful, and there I'm feeling tension. And to know that it's the same Eibishter who wanted me in that situation and wants me in this situation, here he wants me to be full of gratitude with him, there he wants me to be in the state of bitachon. But in both cases I'm doing the same will of Hashem. Again, and it's hard because we get caught up in the experience of it. Then you're here, and then you're not. It's your blood pressure doesn't have to change at all because it's a singular Hashem. Hashem is there, like Zisi says in her article. My daughter, she says, you can. What was the lashon over there? She says such beautiful words. Is you can relinquish yourself to someone completely when you trust them.
Yes.
So when you trust that Hashem is here all the time, He's with you all the time, He wants His relationship with you all the time. Like the famous song of the Berditchever, As is good is there, weiter verkehrt is euch der. As is der is good, whatever the whole song is, the doodle over there. If it's you, it's good, whatever. But the point over here is, Lamaila der, Lamata der, in every situation, it's you. It's but this is davening, and this is Shabbos. Davening is Shabbos. To go into the plugging into Lasis Ritzayin Avicha Sheber Shamayim. It's just the healthiest way to live. There's no other unity other than the Eibishter. There's nothing that is the reality of everything and everywhere. Only God. So if you're surrendering yourself to God, the creator of heaven and earth and the creator of all of existence, and to His purpose. And His purpose with you is one purpose. You're here to serve Him. That's it. That will never change. Never change. In every minute, in every circumstance. And then you can understand the menucha that the Rebbe had. While he had everything, but it's only Him.
I heard recently, I think we'll wrap it up, but yeah. I happened to hear recently Rachel Goldberg-Pollan, who yeah. lost her son Hirsch in the tunnels in Gaza. He was murdered in Gaza. He was taken hostage and then murdered. And one of the people that was with him came and told her that he used to quote Viktor Frankl, if you have a why, you can withstand anything. And that's really what it is. If we can always know that why, if we can always have that ahead of us, what is my purpose? What is the whole purpose of my being? And live with that on a day-to-day basis, then you could withstand anything. So that's really the message, I think, of this Shavuos, that we should be able to, it's so powerful because it's Shabbos and Shavuos, but to really be able to soak it up so that when we go back into the world, we're taking that fresh perspective.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And please join us again next week. And this was really beautiful. Thank you.
A good Shabbos to everyone. This is the big Shabbos. Shabbos Echad. The unity Shabbos. So, it's not just a Shabbos because it was so validated from Earth.
Right.
It makes the world have the ability to enter into Shabbos even stronger. This is already the Shabbos before Shavuos.
And the fact that people are becoming aware of it, and the fact that people are tapping into that energy just gives it even more power,
Yes.
multiple.
All right. A
Thank
good
you.
Shabbos to everyone.
Good job.